This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman. Okay, here we go. A little technical difficulty getting the show started this morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show, folks. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman. Joanna's heading back into the studio there to try and get things on board. Good morning, Joanna.
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
Well, here we go. I wonder what that, I don't know what the deal is. There's something wrong with this mic jack in here.
I think so. I'm starting to hear a little static there.
Yeah, when you the intro music was real messed up in my headphones, and I thought, uh-oh, here we go. But no, we're good to go now.
There we go. Starting off bad, we're going to end a
good. I'm good. It's a little strange when things don't work properly. Welcome to the show, folks. Our sponsors today, the Belleville Meat Market, Hook's Bit Performance Rods, Texan Roofing, McLean Trailers, and Skeeter's Auto Service. We're looking at weather. Got a lot of rain on the way, they're claiming. You know, there's flash flood watches posted all over the state. And here down on the coast this morning, we're still good. I think you got a window to go fish this morning until noon anyway before the heavier stuff sets in, if it does. But right now down in Galveston, it feels like 66. It's 56 degrees. Warmed up a little bit during the night. Looks like a high will be near 70 today. 90% chance of rain. And winds will be southerly, kind of south-southeast, 10 to 20. Tonight, we're looking at 100% chance of rain with thunderstorms. Winds could be southerly at 20 to 30 miles per hour. It's a forecast anyway. Looks like today, probably a little less than a quarter of an inch of rain this afternoon, then about an inch and a half during the night. Now, that's down at Galveston. Some areas could receive up to 4 inches. So here we go. That's what they're saying anyway. So it's going to have to pick up and get a little bit heavier to bring those kind of totals. But looking at tomorrow, we're talking 80% chance of precip, and looks like rain and wind starting off opening day of the south zone of the duck season, northwest at 20 to 30 miles per hour. So there'll be some good wind, decoying wind anyway. And looking at our tides for today, we're on another four tide schedule like yesterday. We had a high occur at 1:48 a.m. It was 1.2. We're looking at a low at 9:49 a.m. this morning. That's a negative 0.4. Then a high at 6:01 p.m. It's a 1.4. And then a low at 11:30 p.m. a 1.1. Just as we get the rivers kind of unswollen and going back down and lake levels trying to return to normal, then we pull one of these. I don't know what. You know, we'll just have to wait and see what the totals are for the effect. But, you know, with these colder temperatures and lack of sunshine, grass doesn't grow anymore. The ground is pretty wet and saturated, and naturally you're going to get a lot of runoff into your bayous and streams, rivers, and all that, which eventually ends up into the bay. Right now, offshore, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. We have a southeast wind at 9, gusting to 11. Water temp out there is 65. Barometric pressure is 30.21 inches and falling. And then at Eagle Point, we have an east-northeast wind at 3. Water temp's not available there, but at Morgan's Point, we have 60-degree water with an east-southeast wind at 7, gusting to 10, 30.18 inches and falling on the barometer also. So we'll just hang in there and just keep an eye on it. Watch radar. And I think this morning you're fine. You'll have a few hours anyway to go out there and play and get your flounder, your trout, your redfish, your bass, catfish, crappie, whatever you're looking to get. It ought to be good with a drop in barometer before all this weather settles in. All right, let's go down to the Tri-Bay area now, and let's talk to Captain Glenn Hammond, the Hammer. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
How are you?
Doing great, brother. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Life's good, man. It's all right. I made it here.
Yeah, kind of a breezy week, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Man.
Cold
man,
and breezy man. In the mornings.
I'm telling you, 3 or 4 days of it, buddy. I was pulling my hair out a couple of days, but we got through it and had a pretty good week. I mean, I'm not this week. We started out on last weekend, started after I talked to you on Friday. I mean, it was pretty decent weather, other than the wind blowing. And the wind started blowing, I think, Monday. Let's see, was it Saturday and Sunday? Sunday and Sunday night, I canceled the trip, too, because I had it on Monday morning, and sure enough, that northwest wind, that's when it started blowing, really blowing.
Yeah.
We did pretty good on Friday. Robert Kelly, one of my neighbors, and I went out, and we had eight specks. We had a couple of sand trout. Wasn't really any size to them. Had a bunch of south wind blowing on us that day, and I think our water temperature was 65 degrees. Saturday morning, I had Pat Ball and had Julian come down with me, and they had one 20.5-inch redfish and three specks to keep. Now, we caught a lot of small fish, but it was like pulling teeth. It wasn't easy in the northwest wind of 17 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's not too good.
in our area, everything seems to be from south. You need to be facing the north to make all the casts.
Sure.
Whenever you have the north wind, it turns you around and you're throwing south, and it just doesn't match up with our reefs, our cuts, our ditches, our bayous, our drains. And northwest wind is the absolute worst. Now, I don't like the northeast either, because that blows it right down the pipe. And when it blows like it did for 3 or 4 days, boy, does it stack the water on top of us. And we had pretty good high tides there for a couple of days during the week. On Sunday, I had Jeremy come down and go with me, and it was slow fishing again. I mean, we ain't really tore the woods up, but we've been catching just a handful of trout. Seems like each trip. Yesterday, we actually had a 14-inch flounder right on the button. We let it go. I can't seem to get a keeper flounder down here right now. But anyway, on Sunday, we had Jeremy come down. We had seven trout. Finally figured it out. And, you know, the fish's bellies have been real, real empty. And I guess the white shrimp is pretty much gone. But the fish still have it in the back of their mind, because I started using that glow chartreuse. And doing really well with it. I mean, really well with it. So what I was doing is just kind of sliding it in the mud down on the bottom, because that water temperature is just barely up. I mean, like yesterday, we clocked like 58 degrees. And that's still pretty cool. It's not as cool as it should be, but it's still pretty cool. And the fish aren't really chasing anything. If you put it right in front of them, this ought to be the perfect time of year to use corkies or fat boys or some slow suspending baits, because you can tell those fish, they ain't chasing anything. They're not in a chasing mode or mood. They just, you put it right in front of them, they snap on it.
Yeah.
I got to get out a little bit yesterday with my next door neighbor, Brandon and Robert, and they had four trout. He had one trout about 21 inches. We haven't had any monster trout or no trophies. The biggest trout, like I said, was 21 inches, and not getting very many redfish. I mean, just our area, sometimes it's on like fire, and right now it's just kind of, well, you can go out and get you a handful of fish, and I'm not going to promise much else. The water's been absolutely gorgeous, protected back in the canals and the bayous that we fish in. I mean, I'm the open bay, I haven't seen any birds working, haven't heard any reports about drift fishing. So it just kind of hit and miss down here right now. And I think, like I said, yesterday our water temperature was 57 degrees. And we threw every kind of soft plastic. The LSU, the purple with the chartreuse tail, seems to be the best right now. I'm constantly throwing the roach, but I have thrown the glow chartreuse. And we've thrown red and white and just about every color. So, but that buddy of mine stayed with that purple and chartreuse yesterday, and he tore them up. I mean, he caught four or five small fish, and then he had the only three good keepers in the box. I put one keeper fish in the box yesterday. I had an off day, I guess. I know it happens to us, but, man, I did everything I could and threw every kind of retrieve I could throw, and I just couldn't pull them on there, and here he was. I'm working the trolling motor and stuff, and he's just having him a big time putting fish in the box. So as long as somebody's catching them, that's all that matters. I talked to some of the bait camps down here, and they do have live shrimp, and they're even selling live croakers down here. So
still got croakers, and almost Christmas, and they still got croakers. That's pretty good.
Still selling croakers, too. we're not using any of them. If you come down to go with me, we're throwing all soft plastics and rigged up with some kind of a real light jig head. You might use a quarter of an ounce. It depends on your casting abilities and your equipment, the size, diameter of your line.
Hey, speaking of croakers, did you see the size of that croaker that lady caught over in East Matagorda Bay this past week?
No, I did not.
4.75 pounds.
Oh, my Lord, that's a redfish.
Yeah, that's a monster croak right there. That's one of them that got through all the nets.
That is crazy.
I wonder how old a croaker is that big. But, you know, the state record's like five. No, the state record's like five something.
Holy man.
I caught a big one wade fishing in Sabine years back. And, I ended up filleting it. It was about 4.5 pounds. Caught it on a soft plastic. But, I thought I had a rat red on, you know.
I guess so. Cause that, you know, pound for pound, those are fighting fish.
They are.
I mean, a croaker is a fighting son of a gun. Just,
you know,
like
if we could get
trout.
A bay full of croakers like that, I'd quit fish. I'd quit trout fishing. I'd fish for croakers, man. That's the best eating fish out of the bay.
I love them. But let's see, what else is going on down here, man? Just a lot of wind this week, and you know what I mean, straight down the pipe. And our water condition really has held its own. To be the shallow days that we have, we've done pretty good.
Yeah, it's, condition. You know, and you got to just deal with that. That's part of it down there in the Tri-Berry.
Mm-hmm.
I did see a photo of you in the Brazoria, is it the Advocate or some kind of newspaper?
No, it's a Facts. It's a Facts newspaper.
Yeah, I saw that you hanging Christmas lights.
It sure
palapa.
Was. They had,
I saw that.
Yes,
that.
Sir.
See, look at the hammer. Got the Christmas
hey,
spirit.
Hey, man, I've had a heck of a year. I did an article in the magazine, and I'm on the front page of the paper.
That's
and
funny.
Then I get to talk on the outdoor show every Friday morning.
Either.
I'm living a dream.
Yeah,
Captain
you
Mickey.
Are. You're all
I'm
over,
having an autograph session every other Tuesday. Y'all just meet me down at the shape.
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah.
Hey, man, I appreciate everything y'all do for me, and I love you guys. And I'm telling you, the outdoor show and everybody, all my friends, they constant talk about how knowledgeable and all the information they gather just by listening to you and your crew and group. And,
well, I appreciate
and we
that.
Enjoy it. We enjoy you.
Well, that's
we
what we do,
you.
Man. We just
yes,
talk
sir.
Hunting and fishing. I know it's tough to talk about, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's real tough. All right, buddy.
Hey Glenn, appreciate you, brother.
Okay, 713-208-0683. Hey, y'all have a great day, buddy.
All right, you too, man. See you.
Yes, sir.
Take care. All right, that's a hammer weighing in this morning. Yeah, I would like to. Oh, and, you know, Pearl Harbor Day today, you know. It's hard to keep up with everything that's going on with the president dying and everything else, but, yeah, it's Pearl Harbor Day today. It's this was a day in history that pretty much changed the world, changed our lives pretty desperately back in the day. You know, all my dad's generation and all that bunch, and what a bunch of great people that rose up for the occasion and fought for our country. We appreciate each and every one of them, and all of the ones that gave all, my friends. That's you know, it's a date I'll never forget. I've heard all the stories. You know, my dad and all of them. They just you couldn't believe the stories I heard growing up as a kid about Pearl Harbor. Well, anyway, and they've made some great movies over it over the years, all the way back from John Wayne and all those days, all the way to now, a current Pearl Harbor. Matter of fact, that was on TV last night. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 421 in the Bayou City. Let's go up to Fayette County now and let's talk to Mr. Bob Green. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, well, I think that's the Cedars talking to us this morning.
Man, I tell you, I can't get, you know, I got pretty sick about a month ago, and, you know, I shook it off after about 2 weeks, whatever that stuff was I had. But I'm still, you know, just fighting kind of a runny nose at times and, you know, head congestion. It comes and goes. It's just weird. I don't know what's in the air this year. And I usually, stuff like that don't bother me. I don't know. I guess it's part of the aging process. I don't know.
I guess. I'll every once in a while, I'll just open the door first thing in the morning and get a whiff of air and you come in and sneeze for 30 minutes or 20 minutes or,
yeah.
or cough, gag. But,
hey, I sneeze in the same place in my vehicle coming to work every morning on 225. I'm in this one area, and whatever's in the air right through there from those plants or whatever, I'll sneeze two or three times in a row, and I'm done with it. I mean, it's like clockwork. I can depend on it.
Take a different street, I guess.
Well, I don't know. There's not too many options there.
Yeah, it's true. Where you're coming from.
Well, I could go the long way and go around I-10. I've done that before.
Oh, gosh. At least you beat the traffic most of the time. There's not many people on the road when you're coming.
Just drunks, man. Just drunks. Late nighters.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Right after the bars lay out. Yeah. But I'm used to driving with them. I got their pattern down. But
all I see is
the police and the drunks.
Yeah. Well. Oh, well, as long as they stay off of it and everybody else, if they want to run into a ditch, let them go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Let them have it. Like that sign says, DWI, you can't afford it.
That's right. And I tell you, this weather's not looking so good for today, is it?
No, it's. I was looking at radar earlier up around. It looks like a little bit of light rain in your area right now, but they're calling for it to get harder as the day goes on and flash flood watches all over the place, you know, everywhere I've ever been on my phone, and I got a weather thing on my phone, wherever I go fishing, it's got a flash flood watch on it this morning.
Yeah, and I was sitting there looking at it, and we've got to run to the College Station this morning, and there's sometimes, well, I got to run to Sound and all this other stuff. You know, I got a little errand here, my granddaughter's going to be graduating from A&M next week.
Awesome.
Whichever day it is. So, got to go get her party favors and stuff all picked up, and her gowns and all that stuff. So, that's a good deal. I'm looking forward to that. So, be the first one to graduate there.
But, that's good.
Fishing's kind of off and on, I guess is the best way I can put it. One day is fair, next day is sad, and one is just, the water temperature is still around 62 to 65, this little cool snap here again, and I'm sitting like I was listening. I don't know if we're supposed to be back in the 30s again, is it next year?
No, this one right here, this Pacific system's not going to, it's going to get a little cool, but nothing big time.
Yeah, I just, normally I keep a good watch on that stuff, but I'm just too hard not to watch George H.W. Bush's stuff going on TV.
There was a lot of coverage on that, I can tell you. That was
that
was a long, drawn-out process, but, It's it's not every day you lose a great man like that.
Yeah, and the way he was laid to rest with the chain and stuff, it was just I just watching all that stuff.
It touched everybody in Texas. A little train ride, and then the plane salute, the missing man formations, and just everything all the way from Washington through Texas. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. It was. But anyway, the fishing kind of, like I said, hit and miss. And most everything is, I haven't heard of anybody catching much of anything shallow. I know we haven't. And about 8 to 10 feet is about as shallow as I've caught a fish. And a lot of it is still over off pond dams and the points and just finding a little area of fish in Carolina or drop shot to them.
Right.
And they're still kind of timid. So, but it's, we're getting close to that time where they're going to kind of start, staging on them places, and just have to watch them electronics real close and see if you can find a little, well, I won't say a covey, but you know what I mean? Little area of fish where you can just sit there and
eat them. Start balling up. Yeah. You bet.
Mm-hmm. And bounce that stinger on them or drag to Carolina, like say, or drop shot through there. Yeah, I'm still using Redbug, although that one company I've always got my Redbug from had discontinued that color for some reason. I mean, I don't understand disregarding that color unless they're going to rename it a different color. But I had to switch over to a different bait, a little zoom bait, in order to find a red bug. And I've been throwing that little 7-inch with the curly tail.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to give a little more action to it, to get a bite off of it. The other ones that we're using, I remember I've always used a little like them, but I still wish they'd hurry up and hit some June bugs. So I use up this ball. I got plenty of them.
Right.
I just for some reason, and I know June bug's a terrific color, but I just don't have the confidence in them for some reason. I guess it's because when I put one on, I can't get a bite. Maybe one good reason.
Well.
But that sounds good to me. You know, I'll use them when I get a chance. Or give them away to people at the dock or something. Here, try these. And then if they get bit on it, and I'll see where they were going. Our water's in good shape, just trying to get this weather to settle out, which it's not going to till what? In January or February?
Yeah, probably right. early February, and that's going to be your heyday. That's going to be your time when y'all start kicking. You know, y'all always go off a little earlier than everybody else.
Yeah, normally anywhere from 5-6 weeks, something like that. We're a little ahead of everybody. So we'll get all the deer hunting and stuff out of the way. But you can always tell right after deer season, you know, we'll start seeing more people show up at the lake because that's the right time to do it. But somebody invited me to a little hunting trip down in South Texas. I've never been to a big ranch, and right now I still don't even know where it is. Other than we're 16,000 acre ranch.
Wow.
One of the neighbors invited us for 2 or 3 days to go down there. So I'm looking forward to something like that. I've always hunted. I don't want to say the back roads, but
yeah, you're going to love the brush country, man.
Oh, I've been down to, what is it, Dilley or down in there.
Yeah, down in Dilley and Cotulla and Pearsall, all that area. Man. That's big buck country through there too, man. I've seen some. I used to hunt a little bit down there, and boy, there's some awesome bucks. Well, one of my good friends killed a buck deer there, and I don't know, that was probably 20 years ago. Awesome deer, big deer, 10 point.
Now I was told, be careful what you point at, because you know they should have little price tags on the side of them.
Oh, I see.
one of those. Getting to go there was an invite, but I think if you shoot one of those, it's got a $10,000 tag on it.
Yeah,
you might be in trouble.
It's amazing the price these trophy fees these deer drag in these days for a whitetail deer.
It's like I told him, I said, well, you know, what if I don't even want to hunt? I just bring binoculars. He said, well, sure, bring them binoculars, you know, just enjoy looking at something like that, because I don't have to pull a trigger on one to appreciate it.
No, you really don't. And it's, you know, everybody wants that one for the wall, but, you know, there's more to the hunting thing than just killing a big rack and throwing it on the wall. And I like killing old deer, old warriors, you know, the ones that are on the backside, or they got good horns or not, you know, just big old bodied, swelled up, deer that have run their course.
Yeah. Done their thing. So I don't even think it's $1,000. So my wife would kill me. And she's going with me, so.
Yeah, I got invited to one of those deals one time, and the guy said, hey, bring your checkbook. If you're going to pull a trigger, you better bring your checkbook. I said, well, maybe I'll leave that at home. I'll just video range find them.
She'd be patting books and everything else, make sure I don't pull something dumb. I have been known to pull some dumb stunts every once in a while. So
we all do. That's part of being a grown man. We actually never grow up.
Well, I was last time I was out, I kept not change the subject, but better get off the deer and stuff. But you may be listening in there somewhere. My bill crump kept coming on the other day. Well, it didn't come on, but maybe every 30 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that. And I said, gummit. Sure enough, I had a little old fitting that came loose.
Yep.
Back there on the back where the hose clamp had broke. So that's the good thing about having an automatic bilge pump. It'll usually let you know, first of all, if you left your plug out or not. But that's really a good idea for anybody with a boat to make sure they have an automatic bilge pump.
They should check that about twice a year to make sure it's working properly. Man, I tell you, that can be your worst nightmare. Fill a boat up with water, and then you go to take off and just push the whole back of the boat under. I've seen it happen. But through-hole fittings, they get old, and, everybody uses a lot of PVC now. And back in the old days, I remember all the stuff was brass, on all the saltwater boats. They don't do that anymore. I guess that's too much money. But you got to check them. All those little elbows and fittings where you got to, your live well clamps and, bilge pump, the whole nine yards. And you just got to check it out every year.
But yeah, I always thought that everything in there was stainless. But I guarantee you that hose clamp didn't look like it was stainless.
Well, it was because
of that being a, freshwater, saltwater boat, supposedly.
Yeah.
So that's what that boat of mine is.
Those hose clamps, the stainless ones, they do corrode. They go bad, and they'll, the end where you got to tighten them, that's what usually goes first. And then that screw joint off the nut head that goes down to the clamp itself, that'll start corroding away. And it's just a good idea to replace that stuff every so often.
Well, the weight of my garage is the very end of the point of the boat kind of sticks out a little bit. So, after all that heavy rain you get in there, when I pull out of the driveway, I have to make sure there's nobody walking down the right-hand side of the road because it shoots a stream out of there about, 3 or 4 feet. So that's how I always know when the automatic pump's working. So as soon as I pull out of the driveway, you got a little slant, it'll dump it out about then. And if it's not, then I start worrying about if the automatic part's working or not.
Anyway. All right, Bob,
it's
break time in the big city up here. I got to go. So, hey, if somebody wants to come up to Fayette and hook up with you, how do they get a hold of you?
281-460-9200 or FayetteCountyBassFishing.com.
All right.
Y'all have a good Friday and a great weekend.
Hey, you do the same, Bob. Nice talking to you.
Well, talk to you later.
Bye. All right, bud. See you. All right. It's Mr. Bob Green up on Fayette County Reservoir. Doing his thing, waiting on his really good fishing right around the corner. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 441 in the Bayou City. Not too rainy yet. A little light rain in the air, but they say it's coming. All right, let's go to Tommy Alexander, Matagorda. Tommy, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, Mickey. What you doing?
Oh, man, just hanging out.
Hanging loose?
Hanging out at the bait camp, brother.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. Just all I'm doing is waiting to see what this weather's going to really do this weekend to us.
Well, let's
see what really happens or not. They say it's not going to be too good, but.
Yeah, a lot of doom and gloom on the news last night, local news anyway.
That's what I saw, too. It was, they made it sound pretty bad.
Made you want to cut and run, buddy.
Didn't sound too good. And then it's supposed to blow like 30 or something Sunday. After the rain quits.
Yeah, they're talking about that on Saturday once that rain clears out by mid-morning or whatever. Right. It's supposed to be north 20 to 30.
And then go all the way through Sunday. Mine was showing all the way through Sunday.
Yeah, duck hunter's weather.
Well, I guess they'll get it.
Open they'll get
tomorrow,
it.
Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't want that boat ride tomorrow morning if it torrential downpour. And taking that long boat ride to the duck blind. At least it won't be as cold.
You're hunting the bay for sure.
Yeah. That's Mike Jeffcoat and I were talking about that. They're still looking for a guy that sunk on the first opener down there in Venice when they tried to cross the Mississippi River in one of those duck boats, you know, a mud boat, and didn't make it. You know, several of them went down, but that one guy, they hadn't found him yet. They've been looking for him for a month. Yeah.
And those
currents may have carried him out into the Gulf. I don't know.
Usually, you know, they come somewhere. They show up somewhere. They float up somewhere. But, wow, I didn't know they were still missing.
Yeah, that guy's still missing.
Huh. Yeah, I've the last couple of those duck boats that Binks bought, I went with him to pick them up. So I've seen them and stuff. I mean, they're awesome little boats, but as far as real big rough water.
No, they're not seaworthy. They're backwater boats.
Yeah, back lakes.
That's it. Shallow great running.
Great back lakes. Probably be great red fishing in one of them.
Yeah.
Get anywhere.
They just don't have a lot of power, and when you try to take them over big waves and everything and try to, you're just out of your element. That's the wrong boat to be doing stuff like that in.
Yeah, not crossing the Mississippi for sure.
Boy, anybody that, you know, people think of the Mississippi as just a regular river. It's not. It's a body of water that'll kill you. It gets really nasty.
I've seen a lot of different shows and stuff on how rough it gets. It's pretty nasty. It's pretty dirty. I've never crossed it in a boat anyway, but it's pretty dirty, they say. Pretty bad.
Yeah, when it's running, it's pretty silty. But all that sediment and everything provides real fine nutrients for that area. I guess that's why they're the redfish capital of the world down there.
Well, it does something right.
But when it's down, that river gets clear, and usually
in
the fall, November and December are big trout months there where they catch just a lot of nice fish, but it's not happening this year because the river's still up.
It gets rough, though.
Yeah, it does.
It gets real rough.
That river will kill you.
Bad deal. I hadn't fished the last couple of days. I fished beginning of the week, you know, few days. I mean, going from the last 2 days I fished, it was really good. I don't really know what they did last couple of days. I heard a few stories that they still caught some fish, but I know the beginning of the week was good.
Yeah, I saw those pictures of those nice trout y'all caught. Y'all caught some big fish, man.
Yeah, those were all on Lee S's.
Atta boy.
Yeah, that. It seemed like, matter of fact, the last two trips I went, the pattern I was on was the ticket was 5 foot and shell. Mm-hmm. If you found 5 foot of water with shell on it, that's where you got them. And that one morning, that particular you're talking about, it was pretty calm. I mean, it was blowing like 2-3 miles an hour, barely drifting, and we were catching a few on tails, and I picked up that Lee S, and I said, now I'm going to throw this. It's calm enough. We're barely moving. Started throwing that, and sure enough, I mean, I released four on it that were over 25 inches.
Yeah, that's good just fishing,
I didn't even weigh them. I was just measuring them and throwing them back real quick and didn't even take a picture of a couple of them. But, you know, I had like 227s and a 26 and a 25 all on the Lee S in about a 45-minute period.
Mm-hmm.
They were smoking it. And the guys throwing tails were catching them too, but they weren't catching the big ones like that. They were just catching keepers.
Yeah.
That was a good day. And then the next day we caught them again, but it was a little bit rougher and it was blowing. I tried to throw the Lee the next day, but I only caught one on it. I couldn't feel it right, you know, drifting. It was blowing pretty good.
Yeah, it's hard to stay in contact with it if you're, you know, in all that wind and you're trying to fan your cast, you have to throw straight downwind. You can't cover any water with it out of the boat where you can, you know, kind of throw it aside a little bit.
You know, if it's under 8 or 10 miles an hour, you can throw that S in the boat and it works pretty good. But wading it works, you know, anytime. But in the boat, that S is pretty good under 10 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Starts getting over 10, it's just, you can still do it, but it's harder to feel it. I typically go to the tail, but that was the key. Our deal was 5 foot and shell. If you found 5 foot with shell and saw any kind of bait jump, then you were on fish.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic wise, it didn't seem to matter too much. We were throwing quarter ounce jig heads, but colors and plastics, we caught them on all kinds of different things. It didn't really matter.
Yeah.
I had one guy throwing a Little John, some copper looking color, and he was catching them. Another guy was throwing a Norton Bull Minnow and catching them. You know, I picked up a Norton Bull Minnow that second day and I caught them on it. I mean, everything. I mean, we had down south. It didn't matter. It was just, that was the biggest key was getting 5 foot with shell on it. That was yeah. The biggest.
Water depth's real critical this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, it's, that's the most important thing. Once you figure out what depth they're really, really concentrated in, then you can, man, you can try all kinds of off the wall stuff. You figure out the structure and the depth, you got them.
Right.
You got
them. That's exactly right. And that's, once we got that figured out, you know, there really wasn't much doing wrong after that. You could catch them on about whatever you wanted to throw. Even had one guy started, he had a spinning rod and reel, and he started throwing a DOA shrimp without a cork, just a DOA shrimp on a spinning rod and reel, and he caught a couple pretty nice ones too.
Well, that's pretty much been my rule of thumb my whole fishing career. Once you get into December and you get these water temps below 60 and, you know, from anywhere from 42 to 58 degree water, I concentrate strictly on 5 feet of water into 1 to 2 feet of water, you know, behind right. These fronts. When you get these little warming trends, how slight they are, but it makes all the difference in the world. You know, that deeper open water stays colder, and then you get in these smaller pockets and along these shorelines, that water's a lot warmer, and those fish and the bait fish, everything concentrate from that 5 foot in, and That's what I call a kill zone this time of year.
Yeah, sweet spot.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was. I said, but see, after all this weather blows through, what it's going to do. But
and that's a lure fisherman's dream. You know, 5 feet of water or less, you can break out
yeah. The
entire arsenal. You can fish with whatever lure you want to, how you like to fish, and you're always going to catch fish.
Oh, yeah. I like that 4 to 5 foot. It's hard to beat.
Especially if you got some water clarity.
Yeah.
You know, when those fish are staged up in those depths of water, they're hunting, man. They're in feed mode. And even if they've already fed and they're full, they're still going to come after a bait. They're still going to run it down and eat it. You can't get it away from them. You know, you can work it as fast as you want to. But if they want that lure, they're coming to get it.
Oh yes, yeah, that's exactly right. That's how, I don't know, a week or two ago they were wanting it real fast, and
yeah,
and we weren't even catching them for a little bit, and that's how I figured it out. I went to burning mine back because I kind of made a bad cast. I was too far to the left of where I wanted to fish, so I started burning it back just to get it in to recast, and one smoked it, and I said, man, he smoked that thing, and I was reeling about as fast as I could reel, so I threw a couple more casts, and didn't get a bite, and all of a sudden, I said, I'm going to start really. So I started putting a burn on it, and then we all started catching them.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to you gotta make it look more natural, because whatever bait was probably in there, you know, that wasn't on the surface, that's how it was acting under the water. It was moving real fast,
yeah. And
that's what they get accustomed to.
Right.
And I think they like doing that sometimes, just to test their predatory skills.
Just, yeah.
See how bad I am. See if I can catch his running mullet.
Yeah, they let me see that. Yeah, let him do this. You know, they're looking at it. They don't even. It's like you're tempting them. You know.
Yeah.
Their house and messing with them.
And look at, you know, some days you've got to just work the bait just absolutely crazy. You know, with all this action and just, you know, out of the norm to get bites, and I think you antagonize those fish, and you know, you make them eat it that way. That's
yeah.
You know, if they yeah. may, if these lures, anybody could just throw one in the water and reel it in and catch fish every time, everybody would be a hero. It'd all be
right.
Kevin Van Dam or Bill Dance, but
yeah.
you just got to go with it and figure it out, and you're having one of them root canal fishing days, and you're getting very few bites. When you do get a bite, you got to remember what you did and duplicate that, and then you can figure them out and get them lit up.
Yep. And I mean, I know one rule of thumb I use a lot as far as the speed retrieve goes is, you know, typically if it's muddier, I slow it down.
Yeah.
So if it's clear, if it's real, real clear, I burn it. I get it going.
You got to work it fast. Don't let them see
it
as good.
You got to work it fast.
And then, you know, throw baits that aren't as visible, too, you know, to where they got to really come hunt it, and they won't be able to identify it properly, and they're going to hit it. If it's that clear and clean and everything, a lot of times they'll go, no, that's fake. That's not the real deal.
Yep, you better move it. You better burn it if it's real clear.
That's it.
You know, slow it down if it's muddy. That's the only time I really slow it down a lot, when it's off color.
Yeah, that's when it's real clear. That's when that like 3 to 5 feet of water come into play real good. Now, when it's muddy and it's warmed up, and you know, then that 1 and 2 foot of water and a slow action, like, you know, a regular Lily or a Corky Fat Boy or something like that, give them a good target and with a little noise in it, make it a little bit more visible for them in that off colored water, that stained water.
Yep.
Well, Tommy, that's all good information, man. I'm glad you're still catching them, brother. I got to run. I'm up on a break. But, hey, if somebody wants to come down to Matagorda and get in a boat with you, how do they do it?
You can look me up, Captain Tommy Alexander, or give me a call, 979-709-8242.
All right, Tommy. Well, have a good weekend. Good luck to you.
Y'all too.
You're going to need it with this rain coming. All right, man.
Yeah,
see you, bud.
Later.
All right.